was a season where there was revival meetings happening. We had a guest speaker at our church when we were living in Maryland, and he was coming and he was speaking, and there was meetings night after night. And then I had to take a trip up to upstate New York for the work I was doing at the time. And I remember being I wasn't in a hotel room. I was staying at somebody's house, but I had my own room in there, which was really nice. And I just remember laying on my back on the floor and just sensing the presence of God in one of the most richest, deepest ways I'd ever experienced in my life before. And tears were just flowing out of my eyes. And of course, when you're laying on your back and tears are flowing out of your eyes, your ears start to fill up with water, right? Because the tears just go right to the side. So I had 2 ears filled with water, couldn't really hear much, but was in a sense weeping in the presence of God as he was there so tangibly, just sensing his presence so tangibly. Now, how many of you would wish that was the way it was every time we got into a time of prayer with God or worship with God? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? But we wouldn't need faith. If we walked by our feelings and we had that emotional encounter with God every moment, we wouldn't need faith, right? Because then it would just be, oh, God touches me, babe. Feeling. No, but he says to walk by faith and not by feeling or emotion, right? But he gives us those moments. He gives us those encounters where we're in his presence, where we're drawing near, we're sensing his presence. Oh, it's so rich. And so rewarding and so powerful. And so Hebrews 10 talks about the power of the blood of Jesus to afford us those moments, to afford us those times, entering into, as it says in verse 19, the most holy place. The most holy place. So I'm going to ask a question this morning. This morning, do you feel holy? Go ahead, you can answer. It's okay. Do you feel holy? Some of you feel holy. Well, some don't. What makes us feel holy? I mean, is it, I've been doing good the last couple of days. I feel holy. No sin, man, this is good. I propose to you that even that sense of feeling holy is linked to the time in the holy place, is linked to the time that as we obey Hebrews 10 and we talk about drawing near to God and we're in his presence, he begins to transform us and change us. And because he's holy, right? And we're drawing near to him in his presence. What do we get? We get some of the overlap of his holiness upon us. And yeah, we actually feel holy. Now, again, we don't walk by feelings. And that wasn't my point of the message in that way. But my point of the message was to challenge us and provoke us that we can walk into the holy place at any time. At any moment. The Bible says, right? Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus to enter into the most holy place, cleansing us from a guilty conscience, and we can have a full assurance of faith at any time, at any moment. This is the greatest privilege, the most intimate place that anybody on the face of the earth can ever achieve. It's to walk into the most holy place through the blood of Jesus. We can enjoy that presence of God, and in the presence of God, his holiness begins to shine on us, right? And so how many of you have been to a tanning bed? Don't raise your hand. You've been to a tanning bed in that way, right? And the presence of the waves, what do you call them, microwaves? I don't know what their waves are, but there's some wave, ultraviolet, is it, whatever? And they begin to bake your skin. And so for some of us that are lighter skinned, our skin gets darker, right? And it's a reflection of being in the microwave or the ultraviolet wave or the tanning booth or whatever it is. But you get the idea. It begins to make an impression on us, doesn't it? And you come out of the booth looking different. Okay, so it's an awkward illustration. We get all that. But I'm telling you right now, this is good stuff of what it's like to be in the presence of God. To be in the presence of God, we get that impression. The holiness of God begins to be imputed and imparted to us. And we begin to soak in the holiness of God. We begin to soak in the holiness of God. And guess what? When you come out, you feel holy. And then you go back to real life, right? And so we're going to be talking about that in the sense of the most holy place and how, obviously, the enemy does not want us to be in the most holy place. He will do whatever he can to keep you from the most holy place. That's why as soon as you get, you set your heart on worship in the presence of God, your phone starts to buzz. And then somebody sends you a text, an email, this thing, or you get a call, or something else, your mind starts to run. You start to remember all the things you've got to get done, and oh my gosh, I only have 10 minutes left now, and it's, I don't even know that I'll have time to, and right? And every thwarted attempt that the enemy tries to bring is to keep us from the most holy place, because he knows the result is holiness for you and me. We draw closer to God. We get to soak in some of that holiness. So let me just review. We've been talking about the power of the blood of Christ, how it brings us near to God in intimacy. And out of intimacy with God, time in his presence, we're transformed, we're changed. God's desire is that we live in close proximity to him. Did you know that? He wants us close to him. And holiness is where we ultimately belong. This is what he's designed us for, to be set apart from the world, sanctified, being made more and more like Christ in holiness day by day. This is his design for how we should live. And so when we walk away from that, or we don't walk in it, or we ignore it, we're missing out on some of God's ultimate design for us. Hebrews 10 exhorts us in this way, since we have confidence. We can do this. Let us, he says, draw near to God. Be sincere, have full assurance, faith, etc. Okay, so let's just review. I was saying the blood of Christ, we talked about how it washes us from all our sins, how it purchased our redemption. Ben did an excellent expose on some of these different pieces. The blood providing for our healing. The blood silencing the evil one. We talked about that illustration of, you know, when Israel had put the blood over the doorpost of their houses, that the spirit of death had to pass over them, right? We know that's why we do Passover. And so it silences the evil one. The evil one cannot touch you when you're under the blood of Christ, right? And so it cleanses us from a guilty conscience. We highlight that in the course of this section, where it enables us to draw near to God through the sprinkling. You can come into the holiest place. We were afar off, but we've now been brought near by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. Amazing what can happen when we draw near to God through the sprinkling of the blood. So we've been talking about the power of the blood that way. And today I'm really talking about how the blood of Christ is linked to holiness, how the enemy knows the power of holiness, knows the power of intimacy with God, knows how it will change our lives, knows how it will ultimately change the world. And so he wants to stand in the way of the holy place. And what were the three D's? Well, we said two D's and we stretched one. A couple weeks, 3 weeks ago, do you remember the D's that keep us from the holiest place? Number one D, what was it? Distraction. I heard somebody whisper it. Distraction, right? So you're getting ready to get in the holy place. And it's your phone saying, no, right? Or some other piece, distraction. All right, second one. Does anybody remember what the second one? Discouragement. That's right, discouragement. Where we get discouraged, we get downtrodden, we get beat up. And so the last place we want to be is ultimately the place we need to be, the holiest place. And what was the last one? We said it was temptation, devilish temptation. So we stretched it a little bit, but it's temptation, right? Leading us away from the holy place. So we talked about that. So today I want to talk about holiness as a place. And I know holiness is also the process, and holiness is also God working in us to purify us and to make us more like Christ in the sanctification process. And holiness is also tied to our justification, where he's already made us righteous in Christ. We know that. But I want to talk this morning about holiness as a place, being closest to the throne of God, right? That's where I want to be. That's where I want to dwell. Take you back to that. So how I started, laying on my back, tears filling my ears because it was just so intimate in God's presence. Moments like that, God highlights and really builds for us a picture of what it is to live in that holy place. So holiness is a place because it's where God dwells, right? That's where it's where God dwells. The most holy place that Hebrews 10 talks about is where his presence already is. So let's go back to Genesis. And we think of in Exodus, we think about Moses as he's out in the wilderness. He's wandering in the wilderness, right? And he knows he has this mission. He doesn't know what it is. He's already killed that Egyptian, and he's fled Egypt because he's scared to death. And he's wandering out there in the wilderness, tending Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep, and just not having any sense of vision of how God's going to use him in the future, and all of a sudden he stumbles upon a sight. What's the sight he sees? What was that? Burning bush, right? And it's right at the base of Mount Sinai, right? Good, good. So we got some Bible scholars here, so it's good. Right at the base of Mount Sinai, burning bush. So he looks over, and the Bible says that he peers over in a sense, and he wants to see what? He wants to see what this really is. He's attracted, he's looking and he's curious, and so he comes over and he sees this bush burning, but it's not consumed. So the bush is burning. Burning bush, you would think, and all the wood would crackle, but no, but it's just burning, and it's not consumed. And what's the first thing he hears from God? Everybody remember? Take your shoes off. Why? Because the ground you're standing on is holy. So let's just go for a minute to Mount Sinai. You and I right now, we're going to get on a plane. We're going to fly over to Mount Sinai right now, where it is. And we're going to get off the plane. We're going to take the train, whatever it is. And we're going to get to the base of Mount Sinai today. And we see it. Is it holy ground right now? Well, you can say it's holy ground. In fact, people make monuments to that because it was holy ground. But what made Mount Sinai holy in that moment? It was the presence of God. Right? So God's presence was there. He was telling Moses, Moses, you have to take off your shoes because I'm here. When I'm here, my holiness is shining. It's powerful. And you can't even withstand it, Moses. And so I'm telling you, as a symbolic gesture of obedience and reverence to my holiness, take your shoes off, Moses. Because this ground is holy as I'm here. It's holy ground. Folks, that is what Hebrews 10 is telling us every day in our prayer life is like. I'm going to take off my shoes because I'm coming to the Mount Sinai in my living room. I'm coming to the Mount Sinai in my prayer closet. I'm coming to the place where God's presence is. And because God is there, this is holy place, and this is going to be a holy time. And you could see why, in that context, having the distractions and the discouragement pieces that the enemy brings, they just don't even light a candle to what I'm getting. Why would I even want to check the scores, right? Why would I even want to be distracted by something like that? What is there that's greater or richer than being in the most holy place with a holy God? And so this is what God has designed for us to live in. This is how he's designed for us to live this Christian life. In that sense, what made that place holy was God was there. And in this holy place, as I come before the throne of God, it's his presence that's there that makes that place holy. And guess what? It's his presence that makes us holy. And so we're getting into the presence of God. And it's like we're climbing into that, for lack of a better illustration, that tanning booth or whatever you want, and the glow of God is beginning to shine on us, you know? And what happened after Moses was up on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights? He came back, and maybe you've seen it on TV, right, on the show. His beard is white. It's in the Bible that he shined, and people couldn't even recognize his countenance because God's holiness was what he was exposed to consistently, and it changed him. And people could see it, even if he couldn't see it. Folks, I'm telling you, that is what happens when you and I get in the presence of the Holy One. We're getting there, and he begins to just make us and renew us and let his holiness rub off on us and let the pain of the past and the challenges and the provocations and the distractions and the discouragements and the temptations just fall off of us. As we bake in his holiness, he begins to change us, and we're more and more. And we get around people, and people are like, there's something attractive about God, not that lady. And it's the glory of God, in the sense of the holiness of God, that's been impressed upon you and impressed upon me. Holiness is a place close to the throne of God, and his presence is what makes us holy. We're transformed in that holy place. Therefore, I would conclude that I want to live as much as possible in that holy place. How about you? Everybody remembers the movie Forrest Gump, right? You've seen Forrest Gump. In one of the scenes, he says, I may not be a smart man, but, right? I may not be a smart man. Then he goes on to say, now, I'm telling you, if being in the holy place makes me more holy, and it changes me, I may not be a smart man, but I want to live as much as possible in the holy place. That's where I want to go. I mean, if it's going to change me, if it's going to make me more like Christ, I want to live there as much as possible. I want to dwell in his presence. Now, I've got a job. I've got to do 40 to 50 hours a week in addition to my other responsibilities. And so I can't be sitting at my desk at my computer all day. Oh, Jesus, I wish I could, right? But my boss would probably say, you don't belong to this company anymore. Go do what else you're called to do, right? But I'm telling you, even in the midst of that, I get up and go to the restroom. Lord, I'm coming into the holy place. There's this little place in there, and it's a holy place because your presence is there. Lord, when we walk up the stairs, it's a holy place. And this is where I want to dwell. This is where I want to live. Now, I'm endeavoring to do this more and more in my life. I wish I could say that I've been ultimate successful at it. But this is where I'm hungering and thirsting to dwell in the holy place, drawing near to him, dwelling where we're being made holy. So what does it look like for you? What does it look like for me? Well, this week has been good because it's been a quiet house, just me and the dog. So my wife and kids are gone, and it's been neat. So I've been turning on that YouTube thing on the screen in the living room and just walking around the living room and playing some of those out in California and over in Australia, People Hill Song, and what's the other one? Bethel, yeah, and all the different worship leaders and all, man, all the great names, and just enjoying that peace. My dog is probably thinking he's lost it. Just enjoying that and soaking up as much as I can, because we get so bogged down in real life that we forget this is where it gets transformed. This is where it's happening. I may not be a smart man, but I got to go back to that place. And so it may look like getting that music on and just getting in the presence of God, forgetting for the next 15 or 30 minutes about whatever else is vying for my attention, vying for your attention, and worshiping and honoring and welcoming. And for me, it might mean going through the Our Father part of the prayer. And that's a big part of worship, because for me, it just resonates. I begin to think about God and his different names in the Bible as a provider, our healer, our presence. His victory is mine. And he's here right now. And I just begin to think like that and worship like that. Can I invite you into that for a moment, right? And we start to think about God, his attributes, and his name. And as I'm in that place, the ultraviolet rays are coming down. I can't see them. Honestly, I can't even feel them most times. But they're coming right through the ceiling. They're soaking into my heart, into your heart. His holiness is a place closest to the throne where God wants us to dwell. It's God's intention that we be partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12:10 tells us that, right? He says in Hebrews 12:10 that we would be sharing in his holiness with him. And Jesus' blood is what makes it possible for us to share in God's holiness. It's our ticket, if you will. Remember I talked about my friend's restaurant when I was growing up, and I could be in the kitchen with him because he had a ticket. He belonged in that kitchen. I belong in this most holy place because Jesus has given me the ticket to get in. But for too many of us, for too long, holiness has been more perceived as a behavioral code than it has been a place. What am I talking about? How about when I first got saved? You've been made from there. Hey, brother, it's so good to have you in the church. So good to have you in the church. By the way, you probably shouldn't wear that when you're in the church. You should wear it at the time, back in the day. And by the way, you should stop cursing. You know, I know what you're doing. And by the way, you should don't do this and don't do that, right? And so well-meaning believers come upon us, and well-meaning believers say those things like, yeah, what does it mean to follow God? Yeah, stop doing that. Wait, stop doing that, right? Start doing this, right? Come on, Sam, start doing this, right? Come on, Josh, just start. And we start to get this picture like holiness is okay, I got an A, B, C, D. Oh, don't do F. Right on down the line, right? And so holiness becomes a behavioral code, which God has not designed it to be. In our minds, it becomes a stronghold of like, when I'm living right, I feel holy. And when I fail, I'm of the earth, whatever you want to. And so holiness is not defined biblically that way as that behavioral code, as he says in Hebrews 12, that we can come into the most holy place. And I remember I stopped cursing some. That was not easy for me because, you know, friends I'm not with, we used to talk like that. And I got saved and they were like, hey, I notice you don't curse as much. Yeah, I want to be holy. And so if I measure it by that standard, I could say, yeah, I made progress. Oh, as soon as I cursed, I fell. I'm done, right? I lost all my holiness. It's not a behavioral code that way. Don't let the enemy tie us into the behavioral code of holiness, because then it's sort of like, you know, I'm holy, I'm not. I'm holy, I'm not. I'm stepping in, I'm stepping out. Man, I'm feeling condemned, I'm feeling guilty, right? This is not a fun place to be. And so the invitation for us is the place of holiness that God has provided for us, this most holy place, for us to get along with Him, for us to soak in His presence, for us to be changed. And then secondly, as I said, that holiness is a place closest to the throne of God. Secondly, I would say this, that the blood of Christ provides for us in our weakness to live in this holy place. The blood of Christ provides for us in our weakness to live in this holy place. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us this. It says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of a reverence for God. Perfecting holiness. In other words, holiness is something we grow in, something we learn to perfect, as Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians, that we can be aware even during the course of our day of God's presence around us. How many of you have experienced that in the midst of something mundane? And you sense God's presence. For the first time in probably about 3 years, I did the laundry last night. That's what happens when your wife's away for a week and the stuff just piles up. And I do have to confess that I called her first and said, hey, how do I use this machine? It's pretty sad, isn't it? It's like, where do I put the soap? Like, slide that thing out, put it in here, and all that stuff. YouTube. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. Yeah, I do too. I could have done that, but I'd humble myself and tell my wife and all that. So where was I going with that? I wasn't here in my illustration list, but the presence of God, I was perfecting holiness. Amen. I know what it was. So even while I was doing the laundry for the first time in 3 years or so, last night, it was just that sense. You know, just that sense of God's presence while doing the laundry. He can be there, right? He can just as he's cleansing the clothes, man, he's working on me too. And we can go about our daily lives talking to the Holy Spirit. For those of us that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, released, and God's given us a prayer language to speak in a heavenly language, we communicate with God through that speaking in tongues, that we speak mysteries, the Bible says. And it releases praise and blessing to God. We don't know exactly what we're saying, but we're blessing God in that way. And the scripture talks about utterances even too deep for words that the Bible says we can in those moments utter. And so as we're going about our daily day, doing the laundry, filling the dishwasher, talking to a neighbor, just recognizing the presence of God and the perfection of holiness that God is bringing. So let me read in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. I want to read just another verse that Isaiah is talking about. He says, and the highway will be there. It will be called the highway or the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about it. And so he talks about this highway of holiness. In other words, that we can be walking with God in this intimate place, the blood of Jesus providing for us, caring for, and we're walking with God in this highway he calls a way of holiness. And so, yes, we may feel like we step off at times, The blood cleanses us. It covers us. We get right back on. We repent genuinely, thoroughly, deeply, but we get back on. We walk in that place of holiness. And so in that sense, I want my life to more and more have time, less time stepping off and more time staying out. Just the walk, the highway of holiness that Isaiah is talking about here in chapter 35. Folks, it's part of our journey, which is attainable now. We can be holy as he is holy through the blood of Christ, walking in the highway of holiness. Now, taking you back to my conversation when I first got saved, hey, brother, you should stop cursing and all that. Remember that? Yeah, yeah. So I had one of my buddies in college that he used to keep track on a chart of the days that he didn't sin. It was like when there was a certain sin he was struggling with, he used to keep track. It wasn't a great idea because ultimately all he was looking at was the sin itself, right? If I avoid, I avoid, I avoid. Instead of his focus upon the presence of God and his deliverance from it and his power to invite us into holiness, his victory over it, is really what Hebrews 10 is inviting us into. So being in his presence as often as I can, get this, as often as I want, because the blood of Jesus has availed that for me. You're holy because you're in the presence of the Holy One. So Isaiah exhorts us to stay on the highway. Don't wander into the ditch, right? Don't wander because the ditch is right there by the side and it's beckoning you, it's calling you, it's saying, hey, your wife and kid is away. Here, check this out. This is cool, right? It's a ditch. It's right on the other side. Hey, you know. Nobody's going to see. You don't have to tell anybody. That's the way the ditch is just sitting there beckoning you, calling you away from that highway of holiness. And it might be something as innocent as a dumb TV show. Anybody wasted a couple hours on a dumb TV show where you felt like at the end, I feel like I'm in a ditch. This is just a waste of time. Amen, buddy. Wow. And so the highway, don't wander into the ditch. I think you would all agree if I asked you the question, what is it like? Do you know what it's like to wander out of holiness, to feel like that? You know, to feel the dirt, the uncleanliness, and that's where God has provided for us. So when you're on a highway, in this sense, like Isaiah is talking about, there's certain signs, right? There's signs for exits. There's signs for mile markers. There's different points on the highway that are significant points and all that. And I believe in the same way, God gives us mile markers and God gives us opportunities and he begins to show us some of those signs. And for some of us, it might be flashing, hey, that's a ditch point for you. That's a point where you just need to avoid that exit. Don't get off because that's just going to be a destructive place for you in the future. You don't want to go there, right? And so so God begins to work that out. So staying on the highway, God is showing you some of those markers, some of those signs, lanes to keep you in, right? Lanes to keep you in the place of holiness. That's God's desire for us. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was, as we think about holiness, we think about the presence of God, we think about the fire of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's Spirit, again, taking us back to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 22, as we're walking in full assurance, the fire of God burning in us. Now, how many of you ever tried to start a fire with wood that was a little bit wet? Anybody ever tried to start a fire with wood that was a little bit wet, sitting out in your yard for a long time and all that? So what do? You try and dry the gas. you try the wood, right? Maybe you've got starter twigs and stuff, but they had some mud on them. So what do? You try and clean off the mud and all that, so right? So now I'm likening holiness this way. If I could just dry the wood, if I can get the mud off and all that stuff, that's great. I'm in good shape. And my focus there is on cleaning up all the mess so that it's ready. But the point of that is, as I look at a bonfire like that, is I'm not going to have a bonfire, even if I clean up all that stuff, until what? Well, actually, like, until actually the fire comes and it ignites. And so, again, I liken holiness that way. Holiness being the fire of God just burning up your sacrifice, your presentation. It's not so much you trying to, I'm going to clean myself up. I'm going to get the wood all dried out. I'm going to get all the mud off of the stuff. And I'm just going to present myself and let the fire just begin to consume the presence of God, building the fire. God's presence is that fire. Let's be a people that visit the holy place often, regularly, that live out of it. Because I believe as our lives go on, we can spend more and more time in that place of holiness and less time out of that place of holiness. Now, I know we've got to work, we've got to eat, we've got to live, but Lord, draw me into that place of holiness where the ultraviolet rays of heaven begin to just penetrate my spirit and renew me and light a fire within me. And Lord, for my weakness, as you're perfecting holiness in me, let the blood of Jesus just cleanse me and cover me and purify me and set me apart for such a time as this. God's design for us is to live in and out of the holy place, to be in, be holy, to go out to a dying world, to go in, to go out to a dying world, to go in, to go out to a dying world. Lord, let it not be that we spend our time apart from the most holy place. But let it be, as Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, my brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the most holy place through the blood of Jesus, a new and living way, open for us through the curtain of his body. We have a great high priest over the house of God. So I implore you, would you draw near to God with me, with a sincere heart, with full assurance that brings faith, that faith brings, and having your heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Josh, if you come. Let us draw near. God, that's what we want to do. You can turn on the lights for us, Jack. Come on. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. The most holy place. The most holy place. We come. Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit. You want more. We want more to do. Oh, God. Let us draw near. Just let the stuff of life fall off right now. What I've got to do later today, what this week should hold, let it fall off. Just let all that stuff drift. You might want to just shake it out of your hands or your arms. Just allow his loving presence right now to begin to settle on you. So we're coming. Father, we're coming through the blood of Jesus, your Son. Now, we just draw near. We've already walked past the outer court, past the temple guards. We're making our way right now to the most holy place. It's the most holy place because, Father, you're there. And now we're just coming before you, kneeling before you, bowing. We're beginning to honor you. To exalt you, to say how awesome you are, how wonderful your ways, how glorious your presence, how mighty a God you are. Oh, we want more, Lord. We want more.